vaping is bad for you. Feels good to start day three in the life with one of my favorite intro songs ever, 1990s Chicago Bulls theme song. But yeah, let's get into it. I'm happy to be back. Feels weird. I'm doing this all the way in the state of Florida, Gainesville, Florida. I'm back. Senior year. We have a lot of things to talk about today. It's going to be a long day. Day three in the life will be a long day. So to start, before we get into any sports, vapes are bad. Stop vaping. No more vape breaks unless I'm taking them. You guys aren't allowed to take them. I don't promote death. If I want to kill myself, that's my choice. But I'm not going to promote you guys killing yourself. That would make me, I don't know, a bad influencer. But yeah, we got to stop. If your parents haven't sent you articles about kids dying of vapes, then they're either shitty parents or they're vaping themselves and you should send them articles. Maybe I'll post an article of dying kids from vaping. There's vapes everywhere. Everywhere in college. I thought, like, you know, at home over the summer people vape more because you can't smoke as much. But no. Girls here are crazy. You need a morning rip when you wake up. You need a rip before you go to class. You need a rip right after you eat and take a deep breath. You obviously need a rip at the bar. Like, oof. Nothing like a vape break while you're drunk. But yeah, there's Juuls, and now there's disposables like Stigs and Sticks and Puffs and Lava. It's never ending. And yeah, I mean, I'm the only one allowed to smoke. Because if I want to kill myself, that's my own choice. But let's get into it. We have so much to talk about today. So much. Daniel Jones. He will be my quarterback on Sunday. Eli Manning. From all Giants fans all over the world. We love you. You're a good man. You're a funny man. You don't have the most talent, but you're a winner. You exemplify what being a Giant is all about. You gave your fans some sort of hope that we never understood, and that obviously the people we talked to never understood because they would just make fun of it. But the hope worked out. Two Super Bowl rings, beating the best quarterback ever, the best team ever, and we all just want to say thank you, Eli. Thank you to the GOAT. Thank you to a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm never going to forget those two games, especially the 07 game, the David Tyree catch, and you... Wow, I'm sorry. I'm just really upset just thinking about Eli not ever playing again. My kids are going to laugh when I talk about Eli Manning. They'd be like, okay, Dad, have you seen Trevor Lawrence? He's a real quarterback. I'd be like, son, you don't fucking get it. Eli's the GOAT. Did things that no one else could ever do. Looked like he was always on his end, but then would throw three touchdowns. It made no sense. Nothing about him made sense. It's hard being the younger brother of Peyton Manning, and he didn't care whatsoever. He had two Super Bowls before Peyton had two. So yeah, Eli Manning. So getting into Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, hopefully, is the answer. I don't agree with the whole take, you know, put him in week two. Like, I don't get it. I feel like the Giants were always in between this line of, like, let's make Eli happy, but let's make the fans happy by drafting Daniel Jones. So if you drafted Daniel Jones, you should have just played him week one, or you should have just let him sit the whole season, actually learn behind Eli, let us get another good pick, some, you know, get a better team around Daniel Jones, maybe get a receiver, and now we're kind of throwing him into the fucking jungle. But it's okay because game one, we're playing the Buccaneers. You know, we should be able to win that game. Jameis Winston is probably worse than every quarterback in the NFL. So, yeah, we're all rooting for Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones the GOAT. Eli part two. I'm praying for him. I'm really praying for him. Hopefully he can just give the ball to Saquon, get out of the way, throw some play action passes. It's simple. It's really not that hard. It's like simple. But, you know, the New York football teams make it seem hard sometimes. And speaking of New York football, the other team, the Jets, I don't like watching the Jets game so much, but I was having the best time ever watching the Browns-Jets game. And it's like funny because the Browns have Baker, Nick Chubb, Jarvis, Njoku, Odell Beckham. I wanted to watch Luke Falk. Every time the Browns got the ball, I was like, please, Jets defense, like, stop them. I want to see Luke Falk, see what he has to do. Luke Falk is going to be starting this weekend against Tom Brady in the Patriots. Both six-round picks, quarterbacks, both the 199th pick. And I don't think there's ever been a bigger discrepancy in quarterback talent than we're going to see this week, having Luke Falk go up against Tom Brady. The Jets are just kind of screwed right now. This Darnold thing with Mono, he's just, you know, having too much fun with the ladies. Trevor Siemian gets destroyed by Myles Garrett. I'll be surprised if he ever plays another game. I feel bad for him. I thought the Jets were going to be better with him. The Jets have coming up the Patriots, and they're 20-point underdogs. Then they have the Cowboys, and then the Eagles, and then the Patriots. And they're 0-2 right now. So they're going to be 0-6. They're not going to beat the Patriots either time. They're not going to beat the Cowboys or the Eagles. They're going to have to trade Le'Veon. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to run him all season until he gets hurt, and then you can't trade him. Like, I really don't. They signed all these guys on defense, and they're going to be 0-6, and then week 7 they play the Dolphins, and the Dolphins will probably also be 0-6, and that might be one of the most fun football games I've ever watched. Like, does anyone else not want to watch the Jets-Dolphins both 0-6? Like, that's fun. That's a great time. And I've never really seen this in the NFL before. This week, there's like 3 games that are all, the favorites are over 20-point favorites. That like never happened before. I've never seen a discrepancy in the great teams in the NFL and the bad teams. And honestly, like, there's 2 good teams. The Patriots and the Chiefs are on another level than everyone else. Then you have like the Ravens and the Cowboys. They're like, okay. I don't, like, the 49ers are 2-0, but they suck. Like, we all know it. And there's so many bad teams, and there's so many bad quarterbacks. Like, the teams like the Rams and the Saints, like, yeah, they're good, but when you watch them, you just know they're not on the same level with the Patriots and Chiefs. And I don't even know why we play these, like, games every week. Like, what's the point of playing the Patriots-Jets game on Sunday? Is Tom Brady really excited? Or is he just going to be up by 28 and throwing a shit fit on the sideline because they're not up by 56? There's no point of playing that game. Like, the NFL is getting boring when this type of stuff happens. That's a game. That's 20-point underdogs. I know the Dolphins game is probably 20-point underdogs. Let's see who they are playing. The Dolphins are playing Dallas. Yeah. 20-point underdogs. I mean, let's see. This week, there's like a good game, Baltimore and Kansas City. But is it really that good of a game? Kansas City's going to win, probably. And if they lose, like, no one thinks Baltimore's better. It's a long season. It's 16 weeks. There's just so many bad quarterbacks. I mean, like, and every quarterback gets paid, so it's like, it doesn't matter if you're bad or good, as long as you can, you know, have a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio like Kirk Cousins, you're fine. Just can't deal with it anymore. College football is way better, even though, like, it's relatively the same with Alabama and Clemson, but there's so many more teams where you don't expect great things. The NFL is just trash. The Panthers are trash. The Bucks are trash. The Cardinals are trash. The Lions are trash. The Falcons are trash. Steelers, trash. Redskins, trash. Bears, not as good as they're supposed to be. Baker Mayfield and the Browns don't look that good at all. The Seahawks are like 2-0, but guess what? They'll go 9-7 and make the fucking playoffs and lose in the first round. It's like a storyline that we already know, and we watch it anyway. It's been like this in sports, honestly, for the last couple years in every sport besides baseball and hockey. I know the Raptors won, but to be not all guess, the Warriors were supposed to win. Everyone got hurt. They've been winning, and before the Warriors were winning, LeBron made it to the finals 8 straight years. It's just like, why do we even watch sports, guys? Tell me. What's the point? To bet and lose on things that we think we know, and at the end of the day, we do know, but on a nightly basis, we don't. I don't even know the point anymore. It's making me kind of upset that the Giants and the Jets are 0-2. Like, what, I'm supposed to watch this Nets season with Kevin Durant knowing he won't be back the whole season? And then hear all the bullshit from my friends and other fans and Knicks fans about how the Nets aren't really that good? I'm fucking over it. Today sucks. And now that we're 10 minutes in, welcome back to day 3 in the life. I'm sorry I haven't been talking so much or posting at all. It's, you know, hectic. I had my first test. There's tailgates here. I go to University of Florida. I haven't posted since the summer. I haven't been speaking to you guys since the summer. I hope you stop vaping. We've been learning some shit. I hope none of my viewers died. That would be sad. And if you did die, family, reach out to me. I'll give you a shout out. So yeah, welcome back, everyone. It feels good to be back. It feels good to be talking. I'm still talking in my phone. I haven't gotten anything better than my phone to use yet. My friends tell me there's $25 like microphones on Amazon, but I'm a little I'm not the smartest with technology, as we could say. Getting into it. So yeah, this weekend, the Gators were 3-0. Go fucking Gators. Felipe Franks got injured for the whole season, it looks like. The quarterback I've been watching for 4 years that I've tried to put my faith in for 4 years, that I hear he could throw the ball farther than Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, you can't take him down like Ben Roethlisberger. And he could run out of the pocket like Mitch Trubisky. And he's 6'6 and strong. Where was all about the last 4 years? I love Felipe Franks. I see him out. He's a good guy. He's like, you know, not the smartest of the guys, like, but, you know, not everyone is, especially in college when you're this young. But he was a good guy. Like, he wasn't the worst type. Like, there's way worse. And we never saw it on the field. The potential was never there. I don't think this will be his last season. Maybe he'll start for the Gators next year. But this game Sunday, if he stayed in, we would have lost. It was 21-10. In the end of the third or the fourth, but he went down and got hurt, and it was really bad. He was crying on the field. He couldn't get up. All the teammates were surrounded him. It's like, shit, is the whole season over? And then everyone in my apartment watching the game was like, all right, four-star quarterback, Emory Jones. We've been waiting. He's fast. He's like, you know, athletic. But nah, we put in the tall white boy, who we've all known has been the third string for years, or not for years, well, I don't know how long he's honestly been on the team, but he's been behind Felipe for a while, and we've never really seen him play. The plan was never to, like, you know, he's not supposed to start next year if Felipe leaves or something. It's supposed to be Emory Jones. So we're like, all right, Emory Jones, we'll see if we could, you know, save the season right here. We're really about to lose to Kentucky 2 years in a row, and Dan Mullen decides to put in Kyle Trask. And I don't know what Kyle Trask did, if you've ever seen Space Jam, if he drank some of Michael's secret stuff, but he looked like the best quarterback of all time. I mean, I know it's Kentucky defense, but we couldn't move the ball all game. We had 10 points, and we're down 11 points. Like, in the fourth quarter of a game, we can't move. And the season's on the line. You're in an SEC stadium away. Like, they're going crazy. Kentucky's hype about the fact that they can win. They're playing a backup quarterback who we gave confidence somehow. And Kyle Trask dominated the fucking game. We came back. We won. He looked amazing. Gators somehow covered the spread on a pick six late in the game. That was bullshit. We were on bad beats with Scott Van Pelt. And yeah, we're 3-0. We're still top 10. And now all of our faith is in Kyle Trask. Kyle motherfucking Trask. I don't know anything about him. I don't want to know anything about him. I just want to put my faith and hope in him. He's tall. Seems like he makes quick decisions. He seems smart, like a smarter person than Felipe. He definitely doesn't have more talent than Felipe. But yeah, we have big games coming up. And, you know, I don't think we're going to get through them with Kyle Trask. But I don't think we were going to get through them with Felipe Franks either. And so hopefully the team just looks better with Kyle Trask at quarterback. It could have been that everyone was playing for Felipe when, like, you know, he went down and all the position players and the linemen started to play harder and realize, like, this shit is real. This is real life. Like, we're never gonna live down this moment. We're college students. Most of us won't even make the NFL. Let's fucking ball out. And if we're gonna lose, let's lose to, like, LSU or Georgia and not Kentucky, where the fans stop caring. So we're 3-0. We have Tennessee coming to the Swamp. Then we have Towson coming to the Swamp. So that should be 5-0. And then we should be 5-0 when Auburn comes to the Swamp. And Auburn's also a top 10 team. And that's when we'll see if, you know, Kyle Trask is for real. You can't look past any game, obviously, so, like, I'm not going to look past Tennessee. I can look past Towson, but you never know. And we'll see if Kyle Trask for real. We have to beat Auburn at home and then LSU at in New Orleans, and then we have to beat Georgia in a neutral site. And if we win all those games, we get to play Alabama. College football is fair, guys. It's definitely fair. We play four top 10 teams, and if we lose one, we're out. It's fair. You can easily make the playoffs in college football if you're in the SEC. Not named Alabama. It's easy. Fucking hate college football. Like, the rules. I don't hate college football. It's fun. You know, it's more exciting. You can relate to the players a little more, especially like me being in college. I know most people in New York don't root for a college team unless you're in college growing up. But everyone down here picks a team the second you're like 6 years old and you're like, yeah, that's my fucking college team and I love them and I'm going to root for athletes that are like 18 years old and it's lit and it's fun. But no. I'm a Gator fan. But this shit's not fair. They need to make it 8. This is what they should do. I'm sure they can't implement it next year. It always has to be like a 2-year thing, the plan of like whatever. Even though I don't respect the Power Five, the Big Five conferences, it needs to be the division winner of the Big Five conferences and then 3 outright picks. Because it's not fair that Georgia didn't, like, as much as I hate Georgia, it's not fair they didn't make it last year. It's not fair that Ohio State didn't make it last year, all because people are just deciding, like, that Oklahoma and Notre Dame are better than them. Notre Dame's not even in a conference, and if they want to get in, they can get in with the outright pick. If they don't want to be in a conference, they have to realize that that's not, like, an option that the NCAA wants or deals with. Like, you know, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to not be in a conference, make my schedule really easy, not have a conference championship game against a ranked team, and then make the playoffs because I'm, you know, we're smart schedulers. Can't do that. So Power 5, conference champions, and then 3 outright bids. Like last year, it's a joke that Oklahoma and Notre Dame made it when if they played Ohio State or Georgia, not that they would have lost, like I don't know, but they would have been underdogs in Vegas. And if you're going to be an underdog to a team lower than you in the rankings, they shouldn't be lower than you. It's as simple as that. If that team's supposed to win, they should be higher than you. And I know it's kind of like stupid because Alabama can lose 3 times in a row and still be the favorite in every fucking game. But yeah, that's the case and that's what's going on. So day 3 in the life, got through some NFL a little bit, got through a little bit of Gators talk. Let's talk about my day a little bit. I woke up mad late. I was playing Madden all night with my roommates. I beat my roommate with I heard Daniel Jones was starting. So I played with the Giants, you know, put in Daniel Jones as my starter over Eli, even though he's, like, the worst Madden quarterback you could ever use. And who did I beat? Oh, yeah, he used Kyler Murray in the Cardinals, my roommate, so I beat him. And then I played after that at, like, 2:30 a.m., my other roommate, because winter stays on, obviously. I was the Raiders because they still had Antonio Brown on their team because my Madden doesn't update. And he was the Chiefs. It was a little, you know, lopsided game talent-wise, but I didn't win, got to bed mad late, and I was upset when I went to bed, a little more sober now because I was just playing Madden for an hour and a half, went to bed at like 3:34, woke up, I don't even know today's date, today is, I think, the 18th, yeah, September 18th, 2019, I'm in my first semester here, and today's agenda, woke up at like noon, had a test last night, woke up at noon, went to Target downstairs in my building, picked up some eggs, made eggs. My apartment's pretty dirty. Watched a little SportsCenter, put 2 loads of laundry in so far. And now I'm just talking. Did a little schoolwork, but like, you know, bullshit schoolwork. It's like when you tell your friends you're doing work, but you know it takes 5 minutes, but you don't want to tell other people it takes 5 minutes. So you're like, yeah, I got a lot to do. Just don't fucking bother me right now. Doing mad work. So many guys I know here love to say, yeah, I'm going to the lab. I have so much shit to do. I'm like, dude, I'm in the same classes as you. You're just a bug-out loser. But yeah, so I don't have a lot planned today. I might go out later. It's like cloudy here in Gainesville, but like it's 85 degrees and you don't want to step outside because you start sweating and feel moist and it's gross. But yeah, so I'm sitting inside of my bedroom. I can't do this in my living room. There's too much echo. I use my phone again and it's kind of weird just sitting in here. I'm like pacing back and forth and I just, you know, needed, I thought my fans missed me. I've been hearing this. My Twitter account hasn't been, you know, I haven't been using it as much and tweeting. I just don't tweet in general as much as when I'm at school. I'm living more in the moment. And at home over the summer, it's like, you don't have as many interactions with people all day. You're not talking to people all day. It's harder to tweet when you're here at school and be funny. It is. And I'm struggling. But hopefully I can get back in the game soon. Hopefully, because I know my Twitter followers are missing that also. And we're going to get into some Yankees right now. Now that you guys know what I'm doing today, I might go out later. Doesn't really matter to you guys. If I do go out, I'm going out late because everyone out here goes out early and I can't deal with it. So let's get into some baseball. I was sitting at my friend's apartment last night after my test. Get the notification pops from my phone. Dylan Patances, partially torn Achilles. No one is safe on the Yankees. There's no one safe. And if I was a player on the Yankees, I'd be scared that the baseball gods are looking over the team and they're like, no matter what you guys do, no matter how good Brian Cashman does, like, you know, this year, no matter how many home runs you all hit, how many good players you have, how many players in the bullpen, you will not win because by the World Series, everyone will be hurt. Judge will be hurt. Didi will be hurt. LeMahieu will be hurt. Gary Sanchez will be hurt. Severino probably won't make it back. Everyone will be hurt. So I don't really understand what's going on. Like, we need... I know Patances hasn't played all season. I know we still, like, are about to win 100 games. The magic number is 1 tonight. If we win tonight with CC on the mound, we clinch the division for, like, the first time in 5 years. That's fucking huge. But there's, like, this weird feeling that, like, this season... It's like the same feeling we always have sometimes when your like, team is the best. It's like the year after the Giants won the Super Bowl and they won 12 games and then lost to the Eagles in the playoffs on that DeSean Jackson punt return. It's like this feeling that it won't go right. I have that feeling, and I don't know if it's because the Astros or because everyone's getting hurt. It's just weird. Like, none of these guys show me they have the oomph. And Dylan Patances was one of those guys that I trusted that have been on the Yankees for years to come in the eighth fucking inning against the Astros and strike out Carlos Correa and strike out Jose Altuve. I know we still have a great bullpen, but it's like, he's fucking our best guy. I trust him more than Chapman any day of the week. No one trusts Chapman. It's like, I just hate this feeling I have in my chest that something is going to go wrong with the Yankees. Like, I don't know, we lose to the Athletics in the first round of the playoffs after this whole season of greatness. And it's like, what's the point? Are we just lesser than the Red Sox now? No, because I hate the Red Sox and they had a bum season. But... I hate this feeling in my chest that all Yankee fans have, that no one is safe. It sucks being a fan of a team. No one understands. They're like, oh, Yankee fans, being a Yankee fan is so easy. It's so easy. Your team's always so good. You're spoiled as fuck. No. The expectations are so high in your heart that it's only a letdown or we win the World Series. And it's like, yes, we did it. But it's like going to see like that. Like, I'll give you a nice example. This summer, I saw the movie with Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio. The name's not on the top of my head right now. Something with Hollywood. I don't know. And was mad excited. Here, Scorsese was the director. And I'm not a huge movie guy. I'm not a movie expert whatsoever. But I'm like, yeah, this movie's going to be, like, really good. Crazy plot line, great actors and everything. Going to explain me some history in California. Oh, it's called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm stupid. Okay. And I went in thinking, wow. Leo, Brad Pitt, Scorsese, Hollywood, 2 hour and 40 minute movie. This is going to be one I never forget. And guess what? Movie was so subpar. And it's not, I wasn't mad that it was so subpar. The fact that my expectations were out of the fucking roof, that me and my friend left so fucking pissed from the movie. I was pissed. So if the Yankees lose to the Athletics, it honestly hurts me more if we like didn't make the playoffs at all. Than losing in the first round to the Athletics. But I'm like freaking out right now. My heart's beating. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm like pacing in my room. It's getting hotter in here. I'm about to turn on the fan. But in good Yankee news, let's get on good vibes right now. Severino came back last night. First game all year. We need him. You know, everyone's like, oh, the Yankees pitching isn't so good. Well, yeah, the Yankees have three stud pitchers right now. Severino's a stud. Paxton has been the best pitcher in the league. Since the month of, like late August, all of September. He's been, like, the best pitcher in August and September in the league. It's, like, every game, 7 innings, no runs, 11 strikeouts. He's a beast, and this is what Cashman wanted out of him, that he didn't produce all season. But I don't care, James Paxton. If you want to suck all season and pitch great in the end, that's fine by me. Luis Severino, if you want to stay hurt every year and come back in September, and you could be healthy in September and ready to go, and your fastball's 98, that's fine with me. That's so fine. So Severino last night pitched to the Angels without Mike Trout. So pretty much like the equivalent of your Little League baseball team in your town. Like that goes to the Little League World Series. And yeah, he four innings, no runs, wasn't that hard, but it was a little hype. Like, if you're a Yankee fan, first inning guy, first and third, you know, first game back, a lot of fans were at the stadium. Like, it's a big deal for us. It's like, this is fucking go time. Severino's back, first and third, one out. You're like, damn, he's already in a jam. Double play, like, you know, Didi to Glaber to fucking Voit or LeMahieu, whoever was at first. And it's like, you hear Michael, 6-4-3, double play, and the Yankees are out of the inning with Severino. It's like, oh, this feels good. I'm back as a fan. It just felt great. And so, I mean, I don't think anyone in the National League has a chance against the Astros or the Yankees. I don't believe in the whole Dodgers. I think Clayton Kershaw's past his prime. I mean, Rich Hill is like, what, 47 years old? Like, I don't know about the Dodgers. I just think they beat up on their easier league, and I don't... They're not as good. They're not. They're really not. So I think if the Yankees can just make the World Series, it shouldn't be too hard to win it. And that's where we're at with the Yankees. It's go time. I mean, 40-man roster's up. We'll see what Boone decides to do with playoff rosters. Clint Frazier's up right now because Tauchman just got hurt for the whole year. It seems like Hicks is out for the whole year. I mean, I know they love Cameron Maybin because he's a locker room guy and he tweets and everything, but it's like... And I like him too, as a person. But I just hate the fact that he might take away spots from Clint Frazier or someone who deserves it. And it's like, oh, pinch hit in the eighth inning, down by one, you know, because someone got hurt in the game, in a playoff game, elimination game. And it's like, come on, Cameron Maybin, step up to the plate against, you know, the Astros' best relief pitcher, Mike Fears on the Athletics. And, you know, go get us a hit. It's like, obviously he's striking out. We've been there before. Cameron Maybin, if he was on the Marlins, would just be another Marlin. If he was on, like, you know, the Orioles, he would just be another Oriole. He's on the Yankees, and he's, like, thriving because of his environment. And, like, you know, he's a loud mouth in the sense. So, like, everyone loves him, but it's like, he's not really a great baseball player. So we'll see what Boone decides to do come October. I know Tanaka doesn't pitch to... Sanchez, so like when Tanaka plays, Roman will play, and it'll make it like Boone's life a little easier to make the lineup. But we just have a lot of guys right now, and I know Stan's coming back, and I actually was just reading the funniest tweet. It was like the Yes Network, which is what the Yankees play on. For all you Florida people that don't know the Yes Network, you should probably learn to know it, or like get to know what it is, because it's a huge fucking company. That's what the Yankees play on. That's what the Steinbrenners bought. That's how the Steinbrenners made all their money. That's what the Nets play on now. Like, that's like, I turn on the same channel to watch the Nets game and the Yankee game. It's pretty cool. So they tweeted, Stan should be back. Get hype, Yankee fans. And it's like a gif of Stan hitting a home run. And the thread under it, it's like, it's either Yankee fans be like, nah, we're good. Or it's like, yo, I hate Yankee fans. They're so spoiled and stupid and they don't know what they're talking about. It's like, we don't care that it's Giancarlo Stanton. Yankee fans don't care what people have done before they got to the Yankees. And my thing is, like, I don't think Stanton's the worst baseball player. I think he will help the team because all of the injuries. But, like, I don't think it's hard hitting 50 home runs when the ball is juiced in games that don't matter in Marlins Stadium with no, like, weather, no coldness. Like, it's going to get cold in New York. Stanton has never been used to that. And, like, it showed last year. It's, like, easy to hit 50 home runs in Miami when no one is paying attention. When there's a dome, you're playing in a dome. When it's like teams don't get, like when you're down 10-2 and it's like, oh, like you're up in the ninth inning, let me just see if I can get another home run. I'm excited for him to come back. I think it makes our lineup look scarier. I think pitchers get more scared, and like just his presence is scary. You have him, Judge. It's scary. I hope Edwin Encarnacion will come back. He's my favorite. I wish we only got him and never got Judge. I mean, never got Stan. Because he's like a real DH, like, you know, he could play first base sometimes, like a position like that we're always crazy about. So, yeah, I mean, the Yankees should be fine. We're going to win the World Series. You heard it here first. I don't believe in the Astros. I don't. I really, really don't. I mean, they've won it. They've already had their time. They've had their time. I don't care how many steroids they've given to Verlander. I don't care how many steroids, you know, fucking Garrett Cole takes. I don't believe Zach Greinke's good. He looks like a girl. That hair is ridiculous. I mean, the amount of shampoo and conditioner he puts in it, it's honestly nuts. All right, so right now, we're going to go over some picks. I'm going to give you my picks, like, off of first look. And when I say I haven't even looked at the spreads this week, all I have is read some tweets about how, you know, there's crazy 20-point underdogs. So we're going to go through every single game, and we're going to talk about them right now, and I'm going to make my picks. Let's see. I'm talking about NFL, obviously. You know, college football, there's too many games, and probably bet on college football over NFL. It's a little easier, I think. Just bet on Ohio State, and just bet Michigan to lose the Big Ten. They will. So let's see. First game tomorrow night, Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars are +1.5 underdogs at home. This whole Jalen Ramsey bullshit. It's like, I just think Jaguars +1.5. You cannot bet. Either bet Titans or stay away from the game. But if I had a pick, I'd go under 39.5 points, because that's 39 points is the over-under. I'd go Titans -1.5. I love their coach, Mike Vrabel. They play the most like style of football that reminds me of the Giants when Eli was good. It's like, run the ball. You know, play action pass with Mariota. Play fucking good defense. Derrick Henry, I love. He's like, every running back these days is like 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". Derrick Henry's like 6'4". It's crazy and scary. It's like, how do you tackle that guy? I know he's not the quickest, but how do you tackle him? So Titans, -1.5. See you in Nashville. Actually in Jacksonville, but go Titans. Next game, 1 o'clock. Denver Broncos versus Green Bay Packers. Spread is Packers, -7.5 favorites. Broncos, +7.5 underdogs, over under 43. Money line for the Broncos is +289. I'll say this. I hate the Packers. I really hate them. And, you know, you see a new team every week. I know the Broncos are 0-2, but they almost beat the Bears. But I lost all my money I've ever had on week one Broncos versus Raiders when everyone's like, yeah, bet Broncos, you know, the whole AB bullshit, and then the Raiders ran them out of town. Again, I'm going to lay off this game, but I would go over 43.5 points and Packers -7.5. Should I play some music for this? Yeah, let's go. Let's go back to the intro song. All right. Now, game three, Lions, Eagles. Eagles, -6, over under 46.5. Lions, +226. I think the Lions are terrible. I mean, I know the Eagles don't always... Ooh, it's loud. I know the Eagles don't always show up. They don't always show up. Like, it's not always the same Carson Wentz. It's not always the same them. I would bet, honestly, because it's in Philly, I'd bet Eagles -6, but I wouldn't take Eagles first half. I could totally see the Lions winning after the first half or the first quarter, because it's like, Carson Wentz, you like awake today, buddy? So, Lions first half, Eagles -6 full game. Or, if you're smart, thinking that's going to happen, you just wait and then you lie bet the Eagles as it gets farther and farther away from the spread. Next game, let's go. Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs. This is probably the best game of the week. 1 o'clock. Chiefs are at home. Chiefs -6.5. I want to take the Ravens here because why the fuck not? But again, I wouldn't bet the -6.5 because I think the Ravens, it could be close in the beginning of the game, and then the live bet spread tends to shy away from the -6.5. So I would take the Chiefs -6.5. I think they're going to... I don't even like to think about who they're playing. I know the Ravens are good. I think the Chiefs are just going to dominate against the spread this year. ATS, against the spread. The most important stat. Never look at anything else but against the spread. So Chiefs -6.5. Let's go. Next game. Cincinnati. You know what? Vape break. You guys don't vape. I'm going to vape. Don't kill yourself. Let me. You know the rule, it's 3, so just give me a sec. And this is, I'm done with vapes, by the way. Done. I know how bad they are for you. I rarely buy them. Only like every Monday and Wednesday and Friday and NFL Sunday. But let's keep going. Cincinnati Bengals, Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills -6. The Buffalo Bills are huge favorites here. But guess what? They're 2-0. And everyone's like, oh, Josh Allen's actually legit. The Buffalo Bills are the best team in New York. Yeah, they're the best team in New York. The other two teams in New York fucking suck. They just beat up on the other two teams in New York. They barely had to travel. We are going Bengals +6. They have a new coach. They look a little better. I hate Andy Dalton, but fuck the Bills. Next game, 1 o'clock still. Falcons away against the Colts. Colts -1.5. Over under 47.5. Over under 47. Honestly, oh, I hate betting on the Falcons. Everyone does, but like the Colts just aren't that good. Nah, we're good.
Colts minus 1.5. Take the home. I wouldn't bet on this game. It's too close, but I would go under 47. Neither of these teams score that much, I feel like. You know, and Colts have a good defense, and Falcons' defense is underrated. So, yeah, Colts minus 1.5, but the real bet is under 47 points. Next game, Raiders, Vikings. Vikings, minus 9. That's kind of crazy, the spread, but, you know, Vegas must know something. Like, Raiders looked decent week. They looked really good week one, and then they ran into the Chiefs week two. But the Vikings actually are a good team, and they went down. They went down early. The song's over now. They went down early to the Chiefs. The Vikings went down early to the Packers week two, and they came back and should have won that game, but Kirk Cousins sucks. But, like, the Vikings are a better team than the Packers, and you cannot tell me otherwise. All-around better team. Better line, better defense. Like, I know everyone's saying, like, that's all improved for the Packers. I just think the Vikings are the type of team that if they had a quarterback, they could be really good. But no, they decided to pay Kirk Cousins, like, $150 million because their general manager is stupid. I think the Vikings will win the game, but I would go Raiders plus 9. All right, next game. My favorite game of the week. Jets away, Patriots home. I'm not even going to talk about it. Already talked about it. Patriots minus 23, biggest lock in history. I mean, it's going to be, I think, 48 to nothing. Something like that. No one would be surprised. So, yeah, Patriots minus 23. Tom Brady is still the GOAT. Miami Dolphins, Dallas Cowboys, plus 21.5, Miami Dolphins. I would go in this game, Miami Dolphins, plus 21.5. They haven't covered the spread yet, I don't think. And they're bound to. I don't think the Dolphins are as bad as the Jets. They might even be better than the Giants. I just think this whole, the Miami fan base and like the GM have gotten this thing that they're tanking. Like, you can't say that so early in the year, like, especially with a football team. These players are playing as hard as they fucking can, risking their bodies. And I know they're making millions, but it's like, it's just not like basketball where you can go out and like not try that hard. Like Kevin Durant probably does it on night in, night out basis and score 25 points. Like, if these guys think they're tanking, they're going to take off plays. And if you take off a play in football, you're either getting popped or the other team's scoring. But I don't think the Cowboys are as good as everyone else thinks they are. I think they're going to come into this week like, oh, we're playing the Dolphins. It's going to be an easy week. You know, they'll probably go up 10-0 early in the game or something, or like 13-0, and it'll be like that for a while. But I think the Dolphins will cover. Dolphins, plus 21.5. Next game, Daniel Jones, the GOAT. New York Giants, plus 6.5. Buccaneers at home in Tampa Bay, minus 6.5. Go Giants here. They're 0-2 against the spread. This is a biased pick. I don't care. There will be no reasoning. Daniel Jones' first game, he will be 1-0 against the spread next. New Orleans Saints, Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks, minus 4.5. Saints, plus 4.5. Oh, Teddy Bridgewater. I didn't see enough of him with the Saints. He's going to have a week to practice. They're going to be like, okay, we need to do things a little differently now because we don't have Drew Brees. It's weird seeing the Saints plus 4.5. Like, they're plus 180 money line. Over under 45.5. I'd go under on the game. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. See, like, Seattle always manages the game well. Always. I'd go, it's in Seattle. This is a tough game. I go Seattle minus 4.5. Fuck it. You know, like Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints. Who knows if they could actually play well. It's like their first game with a new QB ever. And yeah, I think Seattle, you know, Seattle's, shit. They're 2-0. It's like, I love regression to the mean. So it's like, if a team keeps losing against the spread, they'll probably win soon. Or if a team's projected win total was 7 and they're 0-7 to start the year, they'll probably start winning some games soon to creep back up to the, like, what they were supposed to. Regression to the mean. That's why it's like no one ever bats 400 in baseball. If you're batting 400 midseason, you'll probably bat 200 the next month to get your average back down to 300. It always happens like that. You just gotta regress back to what the expected is. And knowing that, I'm actually gonna switch my pick from Seattle Seahawks because they're 2-0 and go with the Saints plus 4.5. You know, Seattle might still win the game, but I just like the Saints with the money line. Or I'd go Saints like first half. You know, I think they're gonna come out hot. Even though they have a new quarterback, I know I just kind of went against it. I just think, you know, it's like Seattle plays 2 games in a row. It's hard to keep playing well when your team's actually not that good, like Seattle's, when they had their best receivers, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Next game, Texans Chargers, another really tough game. These two teams, in my eyes, are like the exact same talent. Both have pretty good QBs, good defenses, you know, good receivers. Chargers are minus 3.5 at home. But their home field advantage is fake. I would go Texans with the money line at plus 160 or 3.5. 3.5 is a good line. Like, you could see the Chargers winning out a last second field goal by 3 or something on some bullshit. But I think the Texans are going to make the playoffs. I think they're a good team. I think the Chargers might also, but I think the Texans are a little bit better than the Chargers. Now we're going to our last 4 o'clock game, Steelers 49ers. Steelers plus 6.5, 49ers minus 6.5. This is like the worst 0-2 team right now because now they don't have Big Ben or Le'Veon or AB. And they just have this Mason Rudolph guy. And like everyone in Pittsburgh is like, what the fuck, tank? And the 49ers are like fake good. They're like 2-0. I know they beat, who they beat? They beat the Bengals. And they beat another bad team. And they barely won both of those games. They might have beat the Colts if they did good for them. But the 49ers minus 6.5. It's hard to take the Steelers plus 6.5 with that team. I feel like it should be plus 14 or something. I don't think the 49ers are good, but at least they're sound. So I would go 49ers minus 6.5. Now, the 8:20 game is Rams-Browns. Rams minus 3. Browns plus 3. Browns are at home. Rams minus 3 or Rams first half. Browns are overrated. What, they won one game against the Jets with a third-string quarterback and a third-string defense? The Browns couldn't even move the ball. I don't care that Odell had that 90-yard touchdown after 30 tries. Most teams, like the Rams are going to control the ball. They're not going to have as many chances during the game. The Rams know what they're doing. Sean McVay is smart. I don't know how that's the spread. That might be my biggest lock of the week is Rams minus 3 on the Sunday night game. Like, really, really. Jesus. And it's like, when you play the Jets and then play the Rams, it's like, the talent level is so different that you're just not really used to it in the beginning, and I could totally see the Rams jumping out like fast. I could see the games on Sunday night, primetime, Odell and Baker get so hyped up that they're like just worse than they should be when like those guys are better when no one's watching them and when people are watching they're bad. The Monday night game, the next day is Bears, Redskins. Redskins are plus 3.5, they're at home. And I would go with probably Bears minus 3.5. I mean, Redskins are so bad. I do like Case Keenum. And the Bears don't look as good this year. Nah, everyone's going to bet Bears, and sometimes it's better to bet against everyone. Like, any fan would be like, oh, Bears minus 3.5? Let's take it. Bears are better. So we'll go Redskins plus 3.5 because the whole entire book on Monday night is going to be betting Bears. So, yeah, those are my picks. Let's go back. I mean, I don't remember all of them, so I'm assuming you guys do. I think I took Packers, Eagles, Chiefs, Bengals, Colts, Raiders, Patriots, Dolphins, Giants, Saints, Texans, Niners, Rams, and then the Redskins. Those are my picks. I will probably go like 15-0 or whatever it is. I've been on fire lately. I mean, that's not true. I had an awful week last week, but you know, in general, I like to like look at it over the course of 2 or 3 months, and tennis is my sport. I'm betting. Betting tennis live, like live betting tennis, is the most fun thing you could ever do. The line could change from plus 1,200 to plus 100 in a second because someone, like, you know, lost their serve, like lost one point on the serve, and it's like, holy shit. I feel like if I can make a real job out of live betting tennis. There's definitely guys that work for Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs that come up with the algorithms that if they see that a live bet is open, it's like, you and there's a formula. I'm not smart enough. I'm doing this stupid podcast, vaping and cursing, but there are smart enough people that can make a formula and be like, yeah, live betting tennis isn't like gambling. It's like actually safe money. And I know I sound retarded, but it's true. It's really safe money. And yeah, I mean, that concludes, you know, day 3 in the life. I didn't mention this before, but if you're still listening, Jasmine isn't here. I had to leave her, and she's old, and she kept texting me, Jordan, like, what about the podcast? What are we going to do about it? I kept pushing it off. Like, don't worry, Jazz. Things could be all right. Like, you know, maybe I'll, like, have mom FaceTime you and put you in. And, like, you know, if I ask you questions, you can answer. But it's too much work, and I didn't want to really break the news to her. So I kind of just let it trend off. And now I'm here, and she's home, and she kind of forgot about it. I'll see her on Thanksgiving. You know, the team in the control room right now is thinking about her. The camera guys, the sound guys. You know, everyone's thinking about Jasmine. Like, we know she's old. It's like Eli. It's like, you're the GOAT, and we're never going to forget you. But sometimes other things need to come their way. Oh, Jesus Christ. My last vape break. Don't vape anymore, guys. It's really bad. And, yep, signing off on September 18th, Wednesday at around 3 o'clock. This is Jordan Hausman in A Day in the Life. Talk to you guys soon. Download it, and you just send that thing.